So on the first Sunday of Lent, we hear about Jesus going into the desert for the temptation for 40 days, which is very appropriate because that's the model for our own 40 days of fasting and penance and almsgiving that we do during Lent. You know, the model was established by Christ. You know, the temptation in the desert is found in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Mark's, which we heard today, is by far the shortest. You know, he doesn't include any of the details of the actual temptation. But one detail he does include that the other Gospels don't include. And it says that he was among wild beasts. Now, I'm not sure what wild beasts would have been in the desert. I don't know if they were like wild goats or foxes or hyenas or what kind of reptiles were out there. But I think it's a good question for us to ask is why did Mark include this detail? You know, every detail in Scripture is important. Why did he put that in? And I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to remind us about the Garden of Eden. Because when Adam was first created and was placed in the garden, it said that God created the beasts and Adam named each one of them. So he's trying to recall what happened in the Garden of Eden with Adam. And Adam was placed in the Garden of Paradise, and he was tempted by Satan, and he fell. And the paradise became a desert. And now we hear in the gospel, Jesus going into the desert, and he's going to be tempted by Satan, and he's going to resist those temptations and be victorious. And so what Jesus is doing in the desert is reversing what Adam had done when he fell to the temptation. And so as we reflect upon this, what can we learn from this? I think there's a couple things we can learn from this. And the first is to prepare for battle in your spiritual life. Jesus went head to head with Satan in the desert. And he was subjected to intense temptation. And we're going to be tempted as well as followers of Christ. None of us are going to be free from temptation and avoid the spiritual battle. From the moment of our baptism to the very last breath, we're in the midst of a spiritual battle. If we don't feel like we're in an intense spiritual battle, it's probably because we really haven't entered into the spiritual life in a meaningful way. Because if we do engage in the spiritual life, we're going to experience that spiritual battle. And what does that spiritual battle look like? Well, there's going to be different elements. The most obvious one is usually when we're struggling with sin. You know, oftentimes there's a sin that we're struggling with that we haven't mastered yet, but we're struggling to overcome. But there can be other forms of struggle that are not quite as obvious as that. You know, one of those would be a struggle with being lukewarm or apathetic to the faith. You know, often there's things that we're attached to that might not be sinful in and of themselves, but they just pull our attention away from the spiritual life. And we might not care that much about prayer or about deeper communion with God because our hearts are focused on something else. You know, it could be something as simple as the time that we spend on Facebook or, you know, other forms of, you know, playing computer games or something. It could be something that just draws our attention away from the intensity that we should have in the spiritual life. And so there can be things that divide our hearts. And that's a little more subtle, but when we recognize that, those are the things that we need to let go of and break the attachment to so that we can enter more fully into the spiritual life and have a greater intensity in our prayer life. One of the temptations that could be lurking under the surface is simply the desire for a life of comfort. You know, to be comfortable, to not have any struggles, to make sure that we have enough financial resources, that everything's provided for, and we're comfortable. We're not created to be comfortable. We're created for lives of sacrificial love. And so if we're striving for comfort, that orients us on ourselves and not on the charity that we should be showing towards others. So we should never get discouraged if we're tempted. You know, sometimes people think that there's something wrong with them or they're not excelling in the spiritual life because they are being tempted. That's not the case. Christ himself was tempted. We're going to be tempted. So we shouldn't get discouraged by temptation. You know, but just remember that Christ was victorious over those temptations. And if we stick with Christ, we're going to participate in his victory as well. And so that means we need to persevere in prayer and we need to stay close to the sacrament of confession. But if we do that, we'll be victorious in our temptations. The second thing we can learn from the temptation of Christ is about Christ himself. You know, he came, you know, he began his public ministry by going into the desert for 40 days without any food. You know, he lived poverty. And this is a real expression of that. He didn't desire to accumulate worldly wealth and possessions. And so often we can start desiring to accumulate things. You know, that's one of the effects of the fall. There's what the church calls triple concupiscence, three ways in which we have a tendency to sin as a result of the fall. And one of those is called concupiscence of the eyes, meaning we desire the riches and the good things of this world in a disordered way. Jesus didn't have that. He embraced poverty. And we see after his temptation that he went right into his public ministry and he went from town to town throughout Galilee preaching the gospel. You know, that would have been exhausting ministry. You know, not having a home to go in your own bed, your own place to where you live. And, you know, he was constantly traveling from place to place. He'd preach in one place and then move on to another place. You know, the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head, no permanent home. That would have been exhausting ministry. But it shows that, again, he's not concerned about accumulating things for himself. He is pouring himself out for our sake, for the sake of the gospel, for the conversion of souls. And so as we reflect upon this, imagine what it would be like to be in the presence of someone who had absolutely no attachment to accumulating wealth for himself, no attachment to his own pride, someone who was completely and totally concerned with you and with doing the will of his heavenly Father. No one that we meet in this world is like that. You know, everybody, you know, has some attachment to their own desires, their own needs. And realistically, we can't go to the extreme that Christ did because we have families to support and we need to support ourselves. And so he gives us a great example of detachment to follow. But when we meditate upon Christ, he is unlike anybody else that we know. And when we encounter Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist, he again comes in poverty. You know, he's under the appearance of bread and wine. People can ignore him. They can insult him. But he's there patiently waiting for our sake. And so that reveals something very powerful about Christ and what it's like to be in a relationship with him. And so as we reflect upon the temptation in the desert, I encourage us first to embrace the spiritual battle, to realize we will be tempted. It will be a struggle. As long as we're alive in this world, there's going to be a struggle, but to embrace that. And also to reflect upon the poverty of Christ and how undivided his heart was, without any attachment to sin or any disorder. He was completely and totally concerned with the will of his Father and his desire to serve us. And as we reflect upon the poverty of Christ, what we'll find is the desire in our own hearts to imitate that will grow. The desire to be great, more detached from the things of this world and to give ourselves more fully as a husband or a wife, a grandmother, grandfather, as parents, whatever our calling is, to more perfectly follow the example that Christ sets for us.